Welcome to Sparking Success with Aaron Opalewski. Aaron brings you conversations that spark innovation, cultivate leadership skills, and pave the way for your business success. In each episode, we delve into the dynamic world of business and leadership, exploring strategies, insights, and success stories that fuel your professional journey.
Welcome back to Sparking Success. My name is EJ Swanson, and I'm here with Aaron Opalewski. Aaron, how you doing today, man?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a full day of podcast filming, all those type of things. I feel like we're getting in a great stride with both, the Spark Companies podcast that if you haven't had a chance to check that out yet, you know, Aaron obviously is the CEO of Spark Companies, and we have a podcast dedicated to that, as well as Sparking Success here, where Aaron dives in a little bit deeper and, talks more from the CEO aspect. And today, I think we're going to talk about something that not only am I thankful for, because, I'm a part of one of these things. I'll try and keep a little bit of tension still out there, but also the aspect of this has been a huge part of the success that you've been able to spark over the years. And that's talking about vertical integrations. And Aaron, I know that this is something that people have heard of over, their business practices. Maybe they learned about it in school. Maybe some of their business partners have, had vertical integrations. But talk to us a little bit today about what vertical integrations are, the theory behind that.
For me, and I guess maybe I'm off on this technical definition, but when I think vertical integrations, I'm looking for things that we can either that we're paying for, outsource, that we can bring in-house, or in our version of that, it could be in-house in one company.
Okay.
Or it could be a new company in the portfolio now.
Got it. Right? Okay.
So it's kind of either or in both.
Okay. So what for you helped spark this, develop this within your mindset of being a CEO, your mindset of being a business owner?
Well, you're looking for ways to drive efficiencies within the business.
Mm-hmm.
And look for opportunities, probably get into it. But as our company has grown, right, it's part of it is seeing unique abilities that people have.
Yeah.
Or areas where you're struggling with vendors, right? And you believe there's a better way to do it. You see some of the issues and know how you would do it differently. You start to learn about that. Maybe through some mistakes, over periods of time, there are things that you don't like the way they go. And it doesn't mean that you should do everything, but as you're building up some of that like data and experience, I think there's opportunities down the line to look at that and say, hey, do we bring any of this in-house?
Got it.
Again, in our instance, like, could this be a company down the road?
Right.
We have instances where we bring it in-house, get it to a certain point, and then it may expand into its own right.
So got it.
That's how I look at it. You're looking to drive down efficiencies, lower costs, create leverage, create additional revenue centers. If you can do those things, if you can bring it into your culture, that can be great. Also, it could take you off focus. So, like, lots to get into on the top.
Yeah. Talk about the two of those things there for a second. Creating leverage. And then how it can take you off focus as you go with vertical integrations. How does it create leverage for people, and why should they be thinking about it that way?
Well, if you do it right, you have the ability to maybe create a new revenue center.
Yep.
Or cut costs, or both.
Yeah.
Create opportunities, within your companies for people that's like, man, they have this skill set, but we don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
In some of these instances, maybe you do now do this.
Got it.
And maybe they own it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their opportunity to grow with inside your organization or evolve.
Yeah.
So those are, it's sweet spots for it.
Yeah. And then sometimes as people do this, as they get into, let's just call them passion points of their own, maybe they go for a vertical integration that's just something they're really passionate about, but it doesn't add to their business. I think both of us have seen that happen over the years with different people. They get really passionate about, a hobby or something like that, and they start, they attempt to bring in a vertical integration with it. How, when people don't choose the right vertical integrations, does that then knock them off course?
Well, I think if you choose the wrong one, or, I think it's you could choose the wrong one. I think less people choose the wrong one and instead they do it at the wrong times.
Okay.
Including us. Like, there's some of these scenarios that I think maybe we did at the wrong times. Good ideas, wrong time.
Got it.
Because it all comes down to execution.
Yeah, timing is super important.
So for me, you know, it's like we're making these episodes, like, what would I want to hear?
Yeah.
What would me a couple of years ago find value in now would be the timing in when you do some of these things that's vital. And we'll give away some tactical stuff on that a minute, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think timing does, obviously, it plays into all different areas of business. But as you look at timing with vertical integrations, do you look at those when you're on the top? Do you look at those when you're on the struggle? Tell me more about the timing and why that's so important, what you've learned in that.
From our experience, right, and we're still learning every day, but I like to look at finding leverage points as we're having success. And it's like, hey, what's our core competencies? And as we're doing really good at those, and for us, like, a key time in this, like, we were talking about this yesterday in a training, we're talking about crossing the next igniter in some of the things that we have options to look at doing. And instead of just talking about that, like, oh yeah, we have these options to do this, we're communicating that more as part of the next igniter cross. Yes, we want to cross the next igniter because it's going to help us drive towards the mission. It will create more promotions. It will help people earn, you know, more income. The company will grow to another level, which right. we're doing that right, will create more income generation for the company as well, too. Cool. But, like, what else? Well, hey, you know, these other things that we're talking about that we're going to do in the future, like, when we cross that, we get to look at doing some of these. We may not do all of them. We may do all of them.
Right.
Like, it just depends. Like, but we're going to be able to pick, like, kind of our next steps in the big mission and what do we add on. We got that's a tune point for us. So I look at it that way now, like, get really good at what you're setting out to do. As long as you're doing something that you're, like, if you're not good at it already, maybe you need to evaluate that.
Right.
But make sure you're really good. Because if you're trying to do too many things that you're not good at, I think you just dilute yourself more.
Got it.
But as you get really good, and then maybe you stack up some other skills or experiences, that's where I find a lot of fun in the, like, being entrepreneurial and, like, okay, what can we do to drive down costs, create more revenue, create more opportunities for people, potentially do things in a different, innovative way than other companies are doing, and ultimately create more leverage.
Got it. Got it. Okay. So, yeah. So timing obviously is key in this. Share with us some of the practical things that you've learned within the timing of these over the years.
Well, you know, there's different points when you can do this stuff. Like, we've done, like, let's go to the example real quick.
Sure.
We'll get more tangible on, like, maybe timeline.
Yeah.
So if you looked at us in the last year, so some key things have happened. You know, in 2022, we crossed our igniter, like our Super Bowl, right? And
remind everybody what an igniter is here at Spark Companies.
It's like our objective for the year.
Got it.
Like, it would be like the equivalent of winning the Super Bowl that year.
Okay.
And they expand as we grow.
Yep.
Harder to do. So each one that we cross, like, which one's the best one? The next one?
Yeah.
but you know, each one has meant more and more to me because I feel like each one has been harder to accomplish and achieve because it's taken a bigger team, a more focused team, a more focused on delivering well for clients at scale or whatever scale looks like now in the moment. But as we cross those things, like, okay, like, this last one was big for us because it moved us to a new stratosphere of, like, gross profit production, okay. Right? And so within that, you know, I think if a company is doing, you know, $1 million in gross profit, let's say they're profitable on that. Well, that's probably a good salesperson, like the entrepreneur.
Yep.
And that's what it is. Maybe another couple people on the team, or maybe even less than that with technology. It depends on the business.
Right.
From a service business standpoint, let's stay there. Okay, 3 million, and we're going to do an episode on this,
right.
I'll go quickly.
Yeah.
At 3 million, okay, I'm starting to maybe put a little more of a team behind it. It still could be that one person that's either generating all the sales,
mm-hmm.
or is the main rainmaker. You got a couple other people starting to account manage or, you know, do some other stuff.
Yeah, some ops.
Well, then you move towards like, okay, now we're going to go after 10 million in gross profit.
Okay.
And okay, now we got to have some other people that are good at this too. Can't just be that entrepreneur. Now, maybe the entrepreneur is one of those people, but if that's the case, then you got to have some other good operational people to start leading others and bring them up to speed. Maybe there's a transition where that owner or president or CEO or whatever it is, they move out of that role, which is its own challenge within that bucket, right? Well, it's when, to me, when you cross that $10 million line in gross profit, now you've built a team of talented people, mm-hmm. most likely, at least in my experience.
Right.
Okay. This might be a good time to start looking at doing some vertical integrations.
Got it.
And then within that, do I think you go out and try 15 things at once? No, I don't. But I think that's the time that I'd recommend really starting to drive down on that. Because I think you got a lot of meat on the bone with the core of what you're doing at the 1 million, 3 million, and 10 million level.
Mm-hmm.
And you still do after that. But I think you learn a lot about working with vendors, about things that work well, things that don't work well. You're building this team, right? And they get some of that unique, you see some unique things that people can do. And when you mix all that together, you probably have some opportunities to start driving, you know, some things that look like some form of vertical integration. It doesn't have to be a company. It might just be as simple as you start to do some stuff in-house that you are outsourcing.
Okay.
And you're probably doing some of that from 3 million to 10 million anyways, but like you can look at it like, hey, like what could we do this with? Like, and do one a quarter or one a year or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Now I know in past episodes, we've talked about different service lines and things like that. I just, you know, maybe somebody's jumping in on just this episode right now. This is the first episode they've listened to. For you, there's a difference between service lines and vertical integrations. And what I mean by that is it's not just, hey, we are really taking off in industrial versus, you know, light industrial, or we're really getting into heavy machinery versus landscaping, whatever their business is. That's different than a vertical integration, correct?
Yes, I would think so.
Okay.
That more like, hey, like, let's use Bolt as the example. It's been a big one for us. So, you know, we're doing outsource marketing, social content, and we loved who we worked.
Yeah,
they did a
great company.
And that was a season of the business. We knew at some point we had a vision to bring that internal in some capacity. And it was like, okay, do we bring this internal and house it all through talent, which is the biggest company,
mm-hmm.
you know, through establishing the portfolio of companies. It's another way we're able to get leverage on doing this because we were able to actually build out a client base,
right?
Or what became Bolt.
Yep.
But Bolt started instead of, even though we're going to be doing, you know, external client, you know, that's going to be part of the business, where we started that business is internally. And we like doing that. We've done this with other vertical integrations that we've done where we start internally and we're our own customer.
Yeah.
Customers within a portfolio of companies.
Mm-hmm.
We get good pricing.
Yep.
Is with that. And we get great practice for that vertical integration. And then when we get really good at that, we can take that
to market. And I think, if I can, on the other side, I know I'm really play the host here, but if I can for a second just talk about this from the other perspective as the integrator of that vertical, there's a couple of key things that I've learned within this that not only you've taught me, but other people that, you know, are a part of those vertical integrations here, you know, that you lead, that I think is really key to point out. And you just hit one of them. One, it gives a little bit of an on-ramp, right? It gives an on-ramp to, you know, get all the SOPs, the procedures, all those things in line, ramped up so that when you bring it to market, it's a really great product. And we've been able to do that, not just with Bolt as we now launch out into the market, but also in other areas. And I think those business owners that are out there, other CEOs, other leaders, you know, other entrepreneurs, that's one of the things they need to really, in my perspective, hold in on, because it gives them that opportunity to make sure that when they go to market, that it's a really great, you know, product. Because the hope of this not only is to have the right timing, but as you say, it creates more GP, it creates more leverage within your businesses. It gives you the opportunity, especially if you have the same mindset that you do, is helping people, you know, grow and, you know, creating those opportunities for growth that people can have. And I think that's a major takeaway from the other side that I've really learned in this, that it does create even more leverage. The timing is in on that. What else would you add to the timing, or how would you help someone identify that it's not the right time to do a vertical integration?
Well, if you're missing those targets, you know, we work off like a gross profit strategy, mm-hmm. right? So like if we don't reach those igniters, or we're off our gross profit strategy, or we were struggling on core competencies or things that we've already rolled out, it would be time to either hunker down and work on getting better on those things that we already have set up, right? Which is probably the case. Or if we're, you know, truly struggling in an area, if we try to, you know, implement something, or we have things set up and something's just like going south, like, well, should you be doing it at all?
Right.
You know, but from a standpoint of like, when should someone start vertically integrating? Well, if you're struggling with what your core business is, and what I mean by struggling is like, you're struggling to grow it or reach your targets that you have set.
Yep.
As like key objectives to reach, like as next steps, I don't believe that's a good time to vertically integrate, because what you're doing is adding complexity. As it does add complexity to business, it can be efficient and it can be effective and it can ultimately be a good thing and create opportunities for people, but it will create additional complexity within the business too. And if you're not, like, nothing's ever perfect, right? But if you're not moving things in your core area as well, that, like, you, the last thing that I would recommend doing at that time is add more complexity.
Yeah, it's like that illustration
already.
Yeah,
you need to, if anything, you need to look for your opportunities to lower the complexity,
right?
Lower the bar on how to cross over the success line, you know, and then work from there, start to compound that. And you can build up to that, right? But like when something is just not going right, throwing, you know, more people at a situation that isn't going right, or saying, hey, I'm going to, you know, this service isn't going well, so let's add this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm talking about here. That's
right.
What I recommend. I know when we've done that in any capacity, that hasn't worked well for us. I've had to look at that and say, hey, you've now diluted yourself,
mm-hmm.
or you've put yourself in a situation where you were already, it was already going fast for you, and you ratcheted it up. And now, like, if you don't get like this going, you're gonna be off
track. Yeah, you're gonna have a double down. We've heard the illustration and probably seen it, you know, in some of our friends or that type of thing, that like their marriage maybe isn't going great and they're like, let's have another kid, that'll fix it. And it's like, actually, maybe it could, but it, in a lot of times that's like, oh, that just puts so much more complexity. That's the first thing I thought of when you said it. It's like, hey, let's fix the first thing first and then go from there. This episode isn't on marriage, but you know, that just, you know, immediately popped into my head. I think that the timing, you know, as you've shared, is key. Is there a percentage of GP that you're over that you would say is safe to really start thinking of this?
It's different for every business. It's a whole episode, which I think we're not doing, but you know, most businesses from a gross profit to like net income standpoint, if they're operating well, are between 15 to 35% on that gross profit to the net income.
Yeah.
Now, we're in Detroit, in automotive country, and in mature industries, and in some industries that would be a really high margin, it's actually lower. Well, the stuff's even more important because you've got to drive down on what you're doing well. If you get off track with that and your sales decrease 25-30% and you're on a lower margin business than what I just said, and you could really start to go from green to red pretty quick.
Got it.
You'll see that at mass scale within some of the bigger auto companies. On it's like, man, they just lost a crazy amount of money, right? And then in the good years, you see like, oh, they made a crazy amount of money. Like the volume is so high, and the margins on that stuff,
right,
is pretty thin. And that's like getting over, that's at a mass scale.
Right. You know, I think something else just popped into my head, and I hope it's okay to take it here. As you go and you look at the timing of a vertical integration, from the CEO's perspective, how much of your time do you think is valuable to be starting that? And oh, I saw the smirk. So I hope, I don't know if it's good or bad that I went there, but
that's a good question.
But when you start a vertical integration from your practice or what you've seen be successful or not, how much are you diving into that vertical integration in the CEO spot? And if your wisdom would tell you as you're starting it, where do you feel like you need to be at in that leadership position as you roll that out?
So that totally depends on where your team is at.
Okay.
Opinion. You know, if you built up a great team,
yep,
that handles most of the day to day, and you are, you have clear communication lines on who's handling more of the day to day, and the CEO is out of a lot of the day to day functions, or the leader out of the day to day functions, I think that frees up more of your time for some creativity on, I wouldn't spend all your time on what I would deem as like projects.
Yeah.
But you might have some time to allocate to that.
Got it.
And you may do that, like key initiatives that move the business forward, keep it forward thinking, set it apart from competitors. Like that's a sweet spot. To be in a sweet spot with that, I wouldn't put a percentage on it because I think it changes as different things come up within the business. Like you are the number one problem solver.
Yeah.
And so as I can sit here and I don't know, I feel now coming from where we started to where we're at now that I'm still here day to day. I'm involved in the day to day, but knowing from where that was when I was making the recruiting calls, calling the clients, doing the payroll, doing the financing, doing the invoicing, opening the mail, to where it's at, now I look at myself as like, I am relatively removed from the day to day.
Yeah.
I'll talk with our leaders daily that are responsible for the day to day, but I'm in a spot now where at most times, I'm able to spend 25% or so of my time on being creative and full.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
I like doing. But there's seasons and moments where that's not the case and things come up, but I got to put that to the side. You look at like the overall, if I'm working on something, it's a smaller project and it's, let's say it's $1 million in gross profit.
Yep.
Like, yes, I may spend some time there, but we'll probably have other people lead that. And I'm maybe involved at the beginning or within points or a part of driving things on it. I may sit in on some meetings with that. But if that messes something up, I got to watch that. Whereas if that messes up one of our business units, if I'm not looking at or spending enough time with the leaders or making sure things are going well in one of our areas that's like a $5 million business unit, that'd be problematic. That would then be a miss.
Yeah.
So a lot of it comes down to rhythms and how the team's performing. And if we see issues, And even when we don't, I think sometimes the best time to really press down, challenge, look at things is when things are going well.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be there to be a problem solver,
yep.
Step in where you need to course correct things. But I don't want to, if something's doing really well, I want to still, that's probably when I'm actually going to come in and challenge the most. I like pushing and growth because that team is confident. They have momentum.
Yep.
There's just good things happening. It's a great time to focus in on some, be humble, crave improvement.
Yep.
Hey, you guys are killing it, but there's another gear. There's another level.
Yeah, I got it.
Huge industry.
Yep.
We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars and we're a speck of dust in the market.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the ability, the unique skill sets here to continue to serve more people in what we do and do a good job and bring more people. You guys could double the size of your team and look at all the great stories you have on your team. What does that mean for the people on this team and the people you could bring into this team that is double its size?
Yeah.
Sorry if I got off.
No, that's really good. That's really good. One of the things that I think sets this podcast apart, and I listen to a ton of podcasts, I know you do too, is
we listening to less.
Are you?
I still listen to a few.
But okay.
I think you need to be careful who you listen to.
Yeah. And you know what? It's unique even that you say that because I don't listen as much for specific content. I listen now as a host on multiple podcasts. That's part of our business model here, as well as the aspect of what are they doing? How are they set? I more listen to the production side of it. Yeah. But I think that's good. And here's what I was going to say about that. I think one of the things that sets Sparking Success in your podcast apart from other people is we don't do theory. We talk about things that work and things that didn't. So
there's a reason we're not talking about what to do when you cross over 30 million in gross profit.
Yeah.
I could talk to you about that in revenue.
Right.
I'll tell you your revenue is irrelevant, in my opinion, compared to your gross profit. Gross profit what moves the business or allows you to set up to move the business, right?
Yeah.
We'll cross that point.
Yep.
Episode on that, but I'm not going to sit up here on something that we haven't accomplished yet and start to talk, about it because I don't have the experience I'm talking to you, whether it's right or wrong and someone has a different opinion, there's probably other ways to do what we're saying.
Yeah.
They're absolutely.
Okay. So
for us and what I would recommend to myself 5 years back, what we were trying to achieve is.
Yeah. Let's get into that because there's things that you have seen work and things that you haven't seen work. Let's talk beyond what some people may think of theory and let's talk some practicals here. Let's talk about some of the vertical integrations that you've seen happen here at Spark. You can either share the examples of those or things that you've seen work specifically and things that haven't.
I think where we've got ourselves in trouble with that would be around the timing. So we tried to do that below 10 million in gross profit.
Okay.
And some of those things work, but the kind of 1-2 punch on this would be where we got outside of our core competencies too much.
Okay.
And so,
Where did we win? What worked? What's working right now?
All the stuff we do with it without giving everything away.
Yeah.
What we're doing.
Okay.
Bolt.
Yep.
What we're doing on the operational side.
Okay.
What we're now doing on the consulting side at these levels.
Yeah.
For other businesses based on our experiences and us overcoming adversity and learning from our failures.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's worked.
Got it.
And where it hasn't worked is when we've stepped too far outside of our core competencies because we saw the opportunity to do something, but we really didn't have the skill set.
Okay.
And there's so much stuff to do. What am I going to go do? Learn a whole? No. Even within these seven businesses, look, I am not up figuring out how to edit videos.
Right.
I don't know anything about that. That's literally why it works. That's a unique skill set that you,
mm-hmm.
That's something that you bring to the business and to the companies. And, if I was sitting up all night doing that, I would be missing calls and I wouldn't be doing what I owe to the people that, you know, I talk with directly every day, and to the stuff that I oversee, like I would be too deluded.
Yeah.
That's not my sweet spot.
Right. Okay. So one of the vertical integrations that we have here is HR services, correct?
Yep.
It's something that a lot of us right now are super pumped about. I mean, I know you're fired up about it. I'm fired up about it, but yeah, I think it's great. So that's a vertical integration for us here at Spark Companies that has really taken a hold. It's gaining traction in that. The timing seems to have been right. We had some, key core people within it. We noticed that we could do, an awesome job at it with the right pricing. We can not only help our clients, talk more about that. Like without throwing the baby out with the bathwater, what can you tell us about that vertical integration and how you see it being successful and how it's been successful thus far?
Well, I don't know that I would deem the HR services specifically like a vertical integration.
Okay.
I look at that as an evolution.
Okay.
And we took what we learned. One of the things about the staffing industry is that you got people that are good at staffing, good at client facing, good at talking to clients. But, a lot of us in staffing are good salespeople, mm-hmm. really ops people.
Okay.
It's one thing to do this. And I think this is another thing that you see in that, like, you start to see it between 1 and 3 million in gross profit in staffing companies, and definitely between 3 to 10 is like part of it, just building out an ops team.
Yeah.
So one of the unique things that we offer to our portfolio companies is the ability to have a centralized ops team and take that dynamic out, which we believe and has helped us facilitate faster growth on those levels because we can focus on the core competencies that those leaders are good at, right?
Yeah.
And the teams are good at, which is recruiting, client facing, talking to people, putting them to work in better opportunities than they were in, and not having to focus on the comp, the compliance, the onboarding, the invoicing, all the stuff on the cash collection.
Right.
The line of credits are the whole.
Yeah, yeah.
But all that stuff.
Yep.
That the team would have to figure out, like, well, we have that on a centralized model,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that we deploy for all of our portfolio companies, and that's worked really, really well. You got that, and then we employ over 3,000 people last year.
Yeah,
over 3,000 people, and I believe it was, I could be misspeaking, but 27 states.
Okay.
Out of 50.
Yep.
And so it puts us in a unique position where we understand compliance in a bunch of different states.
Yep.
Where we've learned about that, somewhat through mistakes. We're not perfect on that, or never had a penalty or a fine. Like, you learn, but that's a lot of volume state-wise, right? And then a lot of volume in people, or like a people amount. So, we're able to, like, we're doing things within our ops team and how we onboard people that, like, other companies just haven't experienced. So if they're going to a new location, or they're going through hiring waves, or they're HR team has, a lot of roles within HR seem to, they need to rehire every 2 to 3, no more than 5 years, just a natural progression within the role.
Okay.
Well, because we do this in so many states and at such high volumes and in different sectors and skill set levels and all this kind of stuff, and we're in on the comp and in on the benefits, and like we have these, we've done reps and all these things, so many reps. Well, when a company of 50 needs help in this, like, man, we do that every week.
Yeah.
Like the whole, like we're doing, I mean, well, more than that mm-hmm. every single week.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw how it was a week ago or so. Like, I mean, we just had hundreds of people in
right,
there.
Right.
And that's just what we're doing here local mm-hmm. in this area. That's not even across the country. I don't know if you heard Kevin, from our national.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Talk about, I don't know his exact number, but somewhere over 1,000 people are already on their program this year.
Yeah.
And again, that's their program alone. Mm-hmm. So think about all that.
Right.
Like, we're doing a lot of that.
Yeah.
So that puts us in a position to
certain people. Great.
There's instances where this is a lot, like this is a serious thing that you want to do right. We're doing it at such a high pace, volume, and scale compared to most companies that we've seen a lot.
Yeah.
You can come in and step out and consult, guide, do portions.
Okay. I feel like I don't want to leave anything on the table here. What else within this vertical integration, thought process, why people should be doing it, why they shouldn't, do we need to know? Is there anything else out there in your head right now?
In my opinion, we covered
the
bulk.
We got the bulk, yeah.
I hope, like, if we did this again in another 2-3 years, then I'd have more to say on the topic.
Yeah.
More within it.
Yeah.
I feel like we covered the, like, we could go into little nuances and stuff.
Right.
I think we covered the main stuff here.
Yeah. Well, I'll just wrap up with this today. One, thanks for taking the risk on Bolt as one of your vertical integrations. I think there are great things ahead. I'm humbled, blessed to be a part of this. And as we, look at this and expanding it and those type of things, there's just, great upswings that I've already seen happen. And as we have both for me and our team here at Bolt, specifically, as well as the companies that, we work with, it's been awesome. It is a risk versus reward. And I think today you shared some of the key things that people need to evaluate, both for the positive within vertical integrations and the keys to the timing within. Don't misstep on this. It'll hurt a lot more than you think it will. It can really sideline you, really take you off the rails. And maybe for you who are listening today or watching today, you have more questions about vertical integrations. Hey, just go ahead and drop them down in the comments section. Shoot us, as you look at the show notes, some of the different things, because we'd love to interact with those. We'd love to talk through those with each of you. And, we talked today about a number of different things. You probably heard the excitement from Aaron and I, talking on that, that 1 million, 3 million, 10 million, aspect. We're going to talk about that in, over the next couple episodes. And, that's a little teaser for all of you who are out there. Make sure you're subscribing, because we are putting out relevant content, for each of you CEOs, entrepreneurs, leaders out there within the business world. And we too want to have you be sparking success in your day-to-day life. Aaron, thanks so much for the wisdom that you shared today. I hope each of you out there have an awesome day.
Thank you. Oh, we done?
No, we don't have to be done.
Well, thank you. I mean, that goes the other way too. You know,
sure.
You took a chance on what we're doing and believing in the mission and the vision of what we have going on. And so thank you to you for that. Something that we're, I don't take it lightly.
Yeah, by all means.
That's what motivates me, is for the people that are believing in what we're doing and what we're going after and what we're building together, that I owe it to give it my all so that we achieve their igniters and their big goals and dreams. So thank you.
Yeah.
One thing that I'd say, just I'm thinking about this.
Yeah, hit it. Again.
So just to put this in, you asked me if there was something else on this. So if I put it in a different way, and almost like a sentence or two sentences,
yeah,
it would be, I would not look to do a vertical integration to try and fill a gap or a hole on something that's not working. I think I would recommend that you focus on fixing that thing. Like, you don't do it as a Band-Aid. I want to fix whatever needs to be fixed. I'm not doing this as oh, this isn't working, so let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I need to go fix the core parts of my business if something isn't working. But when those things are rocking and rolling, I see opportunities for improvement in some of, that's the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Is when things are progressing in the right way, you have momentum, and you can visually see where you can make improvements, or you have unique abilities and improvements, match those two together, that's the time. So I think another thing that is a mistake that we've made is at times where this is not going well, but we could do this. And it's again, maybe that was a good idea, but wrong timing. And then now we got this new thing that we're learning on, and we're not going to be perfect on it. It's going to take time, and it's added more complexity. And you got this other area that's not going well, and now your time's diluted on fixing that because you've added something new. So
yeah,
that's another way to kind of look at, like, should I do this or should I not do it? Well, the question, if I was consulting with a company, well, why do you want to do it?
Yeah.
What's the season of the business?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this isn't working. I think I should. Well, do you feel like you should stop doing this thing? No, we got to do that. Well, do you think it's the right time to add more complexity if this isn't going well? Or should you work on focusing on fixing this? And I think more than not, like, that's probably the right answer.
Yeah.
Even if that means we have to go through some tough things, have conversations that we don't want to have, get back into things that maybe we weren't doing that now we need to do again. Like, there's some, like, maybe less than optimal things,
right,
you know, that need to be done. But that's what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's.
I hope that helps.
No, that's awesome. And that's why you listen to the entirety of an episode, folks, because that, you know, all of us have those moments where, like, oh, hold on, let me say that. So again, thanks so much for tuning in today. Aaron, it's always great learning.